Chapter 4. Heuristic Amplification Disciplines. Garafar found Audla Jaff where he had left her, in the old man's library. She was still reading, but he noticed it was a different book from the one she had been intent on an hour earlier. An early rain had come up after dawn. Garafar could hear it pattering at the plastic sheeting they'd taped across Helter's broken windows, and tapping at what glass remained. There were wooden shutters, but Jaff had opened them for light, despite the glow-globes she had set around her perch on the ratty old chaise. It had been 2 weeks since he'd met her, and he still didn't know what to make of her. Elfin, with a frame like a boy, and a high forehead that made the curve of her brow seem huge, and very young, younger than him. She was smart, he knew that. Big eyes, like new coins, a tiny, pinched mouth. He understood she was some kind of expert retained by the visitor. With the visitor absent, she was in charge. He stood for a moment, feeling awkward, rain dripping off the leather jack of his deputy's uniform.
"I've done a sweep," he said.
"Are your colleagues on station?"
she asked. She didn't look up. She turned a page.
"Yes, ma'am," he said.
He thought of Cronhill, sheltering from the rain in the gatehouse, and Edda walking the west wall with her riot gun under her slicker.
Any word from him?" he asked.
She closed the book and picked up another from a pile beside her.
"No,"
she said.
"You don't think something might have..."
"No,"
she said. She was intent on the book.
"It's possible that something has, of course, but I doubt it. He knows what he's doing. Is there any sign of the others?"
He shook his head.
"Did you check the cold store?" she asked.
"Yes," he said.
She raised her head and looked at him, the slightest hint of a question.
"You're reading, ma'am,"
he said, changing the subject.
"I am,"
she said, looking right at him.
"A book."
Jaff looked down at the book in her hands and reacted as if surprised to see it there. Garafar had noticed her sense of humour before. It was at odds with her serene, cerebral manner. It seemed older than she was.
"I am," she said.
"Anything in particular?" he asked.
"This?"
she asked, gesturing with the book, a slim volume.
"Folk Verse of the Carinine Passes by Nettie O'Farrell. Second edition, published by the Red Grange Press in Delkey 78 years ago. Some watermarking, foxing in shelfware. Inscribed on the flyleaf, 'To my dear nephew Essek, your beloved aunt.'"
She rolled off the details rapidly without even consulting the book.
"Good, is it?"
he asked. Jaff rose to her feet, unfolding her legs from under her. She was significantly shorter than him.
"You have a tell, Deputy Garafar."
"A tell?"
"Several. In this case, a slight twitch of the masseteric ligament on the left side. A micro expression that indicates annoyance or aggravation. You wonder why I am reading and not working. You ask if the book is good, when what you want to ask is why it's you who has to do the patrol sweep in the rain. The answer to your unvocalized question is that I am researching. I am not reading for recreation. I am investigating Essek Fargal's library, or at least those parts of it that have not been reduced to pulp by damp and insect activity."
Garafar glanced around the library. It had to hold upwards of 10,000 books.
"You pick books at random?"
"No, I am working methodically."
Garafar couldn't hide a laugh.
"You're reading them all? The entire library?"
"Yes."
"Good luck with that, ma'am," he smiled. "I guess you'll be here a few years after we've all gone."
"Why?"
"Well, to read all the books, I mean."
"I have 117 more to go,"
she said.
"You're joking," he said.
"I must be,"
she said with a flash of raised eyebrows.
"You can't have read... I mean, we've been here a couple of weeks."
She put the book down.
"You really don't know what a savant is, do you, Deputy?"
Garafar thought he did, but clearly he didn't.
"You could explain,"
he suggested.
"Do you know what the heuristic amplification disciplines of the Neo-Distaff Institute are?"
she asked.
"I do not, ma'am."
"Then a direct explanation would be ineffective. Do you know what a sponge is?"
"Yes,"
he replied tightly.
"Then I am a sponge, and data is water."
"I see," he said.
"Do you know what a metaphor is, Deputy?"
"I do, ma'am."
"And according to your masseteric ligament, you know what condescension is, too. So I apologize for that. Now let's discuss your lateral cheek septum."
"My..."
"Your other tell, Deputy," said Jaff. a micro-twitch. When I mentioned the cold store, you lied. You didn't check it.
Garrafar sighed. No, ma'am. I know I should have, but it's a waste of time. All those bodies, I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Can you say that with certainty, Deputy? She asked.
Garrafar didn't reply. He heard the rain pattering on the Plastec sheeting. He felt cold, colder than he should have, even in the damp, draughty room, half open to the Carinine weather. It had sounded like a pretty interesting assignment when Max had put him on it. A major case. Murders, killings, the talk of Unkara town. The idea that external investigators had arrived. No one had outrightly said so, but Garrafar was pretty sure they were connected to the Ordos. Big stuff, the sort of thing that didn't happen in a backwater province, the sort of thing that could get an ambitious junior officer noticed, and maybe lead to advancement, because opportunities in the Carinines were scarce, especially when the Marshal showed zero signs of ever wanting to retire, like she should have done years ago, and make way for new blood. But it had turned out to be much less comfortable. Cold, wet, tedious, yet with a constant undercurrent of something Garrafar felt was malevolent, like a storm waiting to break. It wasn't the bodies. He'd seen plenty of bodies. Accidents, bar fights, farming mishaps, plus a brief tour in the local militia during the last years of the Civil War, before he joined law enforcement. Bodies didn't faze him, though the number and the manner of death in this case was unusual. What unsettled him was something he couldn't put his finger on, like they were poking at something that shouldn't be poked, or opening a cage that had been locked for a damn good reason. And that lead investigator was a piece of work, scary as hell in his own right. If it had been up to Garrafar, the lead investigator would have made it onto the list of suspects, just turning up in a town like that, with his cruel manner and his band of disreputable henchmen. But it wasn't up to Garrafar. Hadid Garrafar was just a deputy with an assistant investigator's ticket. He was local enforcement. He was muscle. He did as he was told.
"Let's check the cold store together," said Jaff. "I want to take some ambient measurements anyway."
"Yes, ma'am." "Good," he said. "Measurements of ambient what?"
"Just ambient," she replied.
She buttoned her coat. Then she looked at him.
"I hear an engine," she said. "Approaching."
"The others must be back, ma'am," he replied.
"Hmm. If they are, they've changed vehicle."
"How can you tell?" he asked.
"It sounds different," she said.
Deputy Cronel had opened the gates to let the transporter enter the yard. He stood watching, his riot gun hooked over the crook of his arm as it came to a halt. Deputy Edda had appeared on the top wall to add cover. The transporter was a Cargo 4, an all-terrain variant, spattered in mud from the forest track. It pulled up beside the green ATV and the heavy, bronze Marshal Division transporter already parked there. Garrafar followed Audla Jaff into the yard. The hatches popped on the Cargo 4, and five people got out. Garrafar's boss, Max, and three of the investigators' team, the suave Vorier, the big thug Nail, and Mamselle Betancourt, whose beauty stopped Garrafar in his tracks every time he saw her. It looked like someone had taken a swing at Vorier. There was a dressing strapped around his face. That pleased Garrafar no end. Vorier was an arrogant bastard. He was of a type Garrafar knew too well. Privately schooled cadet officers in the Territorial Guard, petulant aristos, privileged rich kids from the cities who rolled into Unkara every summer season to hunt and drink and sail the lakes, and generally harass any female they could find. They had rich fathers who retained expensive lawyers who, in turn, could disappear any indiscretions. The fifth man looked like a vagrant. He was old and pale, and thin to the point of being haggard. His hair was grey, and he wore a shabby checkered suit and an overcoat that had outlived several previous owners. Little wire-frame spectacles perched on his face. The frames were bent, and they gave him a cockeyed appearance. This was the expert they'd gone off to locate.
"Morning, Chief,"
Garrafar called to Max. She nodded back. She was handing down a kit bag that was apparently the extent of the expert's luggage. The expert was standing nearby, adjusting his spectacles and looking around as if he'd never seen daylight or old high walls before.
"Garrafar, this is Magus biologist Drusha," Max said.
"Sir?"
Garrafar nodded curtly.
"Find him a room and give him a hand with his bag. We'll brief in 20 minutes.
"Yes, ma'am,"
said Garrafar. He picked up the kit bag.
"Fifth floor is free,"
he said. Max shook her head.
Stick him on the 4th, near to me. If you put him on the 5th, someone will tell a ghost story about the old man dying up there and we'll never hear the bloody end of it.
The expert, Drusha, scowled at her.
I'm not a child, Max, he said. I don't believe in ghosts. An old building where someone once died, so what?
I know what you can get like, Valentin, she replied.
I presume the bedding has been changed since this old man died in it, he asked.
She nodded.
Stick him on the 5th, then, deputy, she said.
You were gone a long time,
Jaff said to Vorier.
Delayed, Vorier replied. The transporter broke down outside Ottofan. Transaxle. We had to rent another ride.
Jaff looked at Garifar and flashed her eyebrows again. Scary bitch. How could she tell that just from a distant noise?
Brief in 20, Max repeated. Is he here?
No, said Jaff.
You could have briefed me on the road, said Drusha. It was a long enough journey. Some things you need to see for yourself before they make sense, said Nail.
Garifar led Drusha up to the 5th floor.
Old place, Drusha remarked. Yes.
Unoccupied?
Before us, yes, for years.
Nice views, said Drusha,
pausing to look out of one of the window slits.
I suppose.
I bet you get a lot of hill browns up here. Pine finch. Crosshammers, goldhawks, and lots of charhoops in autumn.
I couldn't say, said Garifar.
Drusha shrugged and continued climbing the stairs after him.
What happened to Vorier's face?
Garifar asked.
I attacked him with an eagle, said Drusha.
Garifar stopped.
Really?
He asked.
Not really, Drusha replied. But that appears to have become the narrative, despite my attempts to correct it, so I'm just going along with it.
The flaking stone steps led up to a landing where the floor was bordered with wood. It had once been polished, a fine surface, but water damage from the leaking roof had stained it, making it patchy and rough. Buckets and other open vessels had been set at strategic points to catch drips. Some were so full, puddles were spreading around them.
Along here, said the deputy. Mind your step.
They haven't told me much, said Drusha.
About what?
About anything. This matter, this case, this investigation.
Garifar looked at him.
I get the feeling a lot of it's classified, sir, he said.
You don't know?
Asked Drusha.
I'm just local law, sir, he said. Staffing, support, you know.
So, it's classified by the Ordos, then?
Asked Drusha, more to himself. Deputy Garifar's manner suddenly became keen. He looked Drusha in the eye.
So they are from the Ordos? He asked. Inquisition?
Drusha nodded.
Yes, I saw a badge. Vorier identified himself. Didn't you know?
No, replied Garifar. They don't say much about anything. The Marshal was already investigating this case when they sort of turned up and took over. She's cooperating. It's not like her to just roll over. It feels like they have something on her.
Not Max, said Drusha.
You know her?
From way back.
Well, I suppose if they are from the Ordos, that would explain her compliance, said Garifar. Her eagerness to assist. I mean, that's how it works, doesn't it? The Inquisition has authority everywhere,
as I understand it. What was the case?
Sir?
The case Marshal Max was investigating,
asked Drusha. Garifar hesitated.
Oh, come on, Deputy Garifar, said Drusha, pausing slightly to squint and read the officer's name badge. I let slip they were from the Ordos. It's your turn. Like you said, they're playing it close. Even my old friend Max.
Garifar shrugged.
There was a death. Last winter. A farmer found the body. Open and closed, really. Or should have been. Ursidkill.
Ursa Minora Gershomi?
Said Drusha.
Or Majora, I suppose. Or even a cave Ursid, though those are rare these days.
Sir?
A banded Ursid or a big grey?
Yeah, we get both kinds up here. The king greys once in a while. So we thought some poor idiot left the wood path, got taken. Never got an identification on the victim, though. No papers. We ran genetic samples through the system and even shared them with other networks. Then, in the spring, there were two more. Same deal.
Found together?
No, said Garifar. Kilometres apart. Within days, another. Then another a month after.
Five. All male?
No, four male, one female.
All unidentified?
Yeah, which is odd. We get a lot of visitors up here in season. hunters and the like. Plus, nice views, like you said. So, people from outside the province aren't unusual. But five unknowns. That started to feel off.
Was there feeding?
There were all Ursid kills.
Oh, yeah, said Garifar. All the meat was gone. All the organs. Funny, that's the first question the Marshal asked.
Drusha smiled.
She remembered the basics, he said.
She wanted it squared away, certainly. I mean, we get the odd animal attack, but five felt like there might be a rogue beast. Plus the identification thing. Max, she ordered up some expensive facial reconstruction on three of the bodies. Then we ran the results around every hostelry, tavern and guesthouse in the area. I mean, it was possible we had five dead visitors who all happened to not have papers on them, or who had their papers eaten along with them.
Unlikely, said Drusha.
But possible. No point seeing patterns where there aren't any. But nothing. No one recognised them. So the reconstructs went out on the wire, too.
And that brought the Ordos in?
Yes, said Garifar. But before they got here, we found the rest.
The rest of what?
The rest of the bodies, sir. It was spring, like I said. The thaw. Warmest spring in a decade. There was meltwater flooding in this valley and the next along. It brought bodies down. People who'd been dead since last year that we hadn't found because they'd been frozen up. The tech adepts say some of them might even be from the year before. Or as long ago as 8 years.
All Ursid kills?
The exact same specs, sir. Ursid kill, unidentified subjects. Two more of them female.
How many bodies?
Asked Drusha.
I don't know, sir, said Garifar.
Oh, come on, deputy. You're on the case. How many bodies?
I mean to say, I don't know what the total's going to be. We've got 18 so far. They're still digging up more.
Drusha opened his mouth to speak. Nothing much was forthcoming.
We've got all the bodies downstairs, in the cold store, said Garifar.
Here?
Yes. Orders of the lead investigator. He wanted all the bodies in one place for examination, so they set up a facility in the cellars where it's cold.
That's ridiculous, said Drusha. You need a proper morgue and laboratory to conduct.
Orders of the lead investigator, Garifar repeated.
Well, he sounds like an idiot, said Drusha.
Oh, he's not, said Garifar. I don't know what he is, apart from damn scary, but he's not an idiot.
I disagree, and I'll tell him so to his face, said Drusha. I've only ever assisted law enforcement cases, but I know well enough there's a proper procedure for this kind of thing.
They had reached a door.
This the haunted bedroom, deputy? Drusha replied.
Well, the old man died here years ago, replied Garifar.
Which old man?
Fargal, last person to own this place. I don't think he's still here, so you'll be all right.
He opened the door, and they went in. It had once been a grand bedroom, but the plaster was crumbling, and the boards were bare. Large windows, the shutters open, overlooked the valley below. It smelled damp. Drusha and Garifar halted in their tracks. There was a man standing by one of the windows, his back to them. He was staring out. He was tall, broad and solid, his bulk covered in a long black coat.
"Throne, but you scared me!" exclaimed Garifar. "I didn't know you were back, sir."
The man turned to look at them. It was impossible to discern his age. His craggy face was grizzled and badly scarred. Augmetic plugs and leads trailed back from pinch points and sockets in his hairless scalp and disappeared down under his high collar. His expression was impenetrable.
"That will be all, deputy," he said.
"Shall I tell the others that you're—"
"That will be all," the man said. "Unless you'd like to stay and discuss the unguarded sharing of confidential matters with outsiders."
Garifar put the bag down, shot a look at Drusha, and left.
"You're Drusha?" the man asked, staring at Drusha. "The one Max recommended."
"I am,"
said Drusha.
"My name is Eisenhorn," the man said. "I believe there was something you wanted to tell me to my face."